But this is trying to wedge itself into the golfing world in quite an aggressive way. But the interesting thing is that these players in LIV, they still think they should have the right to do everything else, including being in the Olympics for their own countries and things like that. But they don't play enough games over here to qualify to be in their Olympic team. And then they think there was quite a lot of pressure this year from one of the Australian golfers who wanted to still get into the Olympics because he felt that because he is a higher-ranked player, he should get in. But he hasn't played enough tournaments to qualify to play for Australia because he's doing a lot of LIV stuff. I don't know. Is it like having your cake and eating it too? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
Just very interesting, yeah.
And just a question out of left field.
No.
What happens to the product that comes from the recycling of polyester?
Yes, it turns into oil and it then can be made back into more fabrics or...
More polyester?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, it's not a natural... Well, it comes from a fossil fuel. It's incredible, isn't it? It's hard for people to accept that, yeah.
It's just really
we
hard.
Had a major...
It doesn't go into my...
We had a big recycling drive here recently. It was called Give a Sheet, which was quite a clever thing. Play on Give a Sheet. And it was Give a Sheet. And, yeah, nobody that I spoke to understood that their polyester sheets was going to get... return to oil. They found it a concept too, like a step too far, because they hadn't thought about polyester being made from a fossil fuel. Yeah, so it's kind of... So there's this company in Brisbane that wanted to have a trial to see whether people would take part in a, you know, trial where they... So they had delivery points. They did it in Adelaide and other major cities. And they wanted to get enough so that they could keep going with their experimental recycling. It's not, when I say experimental, they're running it as a business, but they wanted to see whether people would hand over their used sheets and towels. So the cotton towels got turned back into cotton, linen got turned back into linen, and polyester got turned back into fuel, petroleum, oil.
Look, I understand cotton getting turned back into cotton.
I know. I found it. I'd love to go and watch that happen in real life. That would be amazing, you know. Because I've seen polystyrene get turned back into a paste because it expels all the air and then it becomes this white paste.
Great big sheet of polystyrene and ends up like a little worm.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, it looks like about. Yeah, it's not a lot, actually. For one big sheet, it's not a lot. It's just it's amazing, and it looks like a little white worm. Yeah. But that's because it's mainly air. But the rest of it is made from fossil fuel.
Fossil fuel.
And the good story is, okay, they're reusing the polystyrene. Obviously, I would like to see fossil fuels, you know, out of business entirely, but that's going to be a long term. But interestingly, there's some interesting things happening in that space. So today it was announced that the state of California is suing a major oil company because they say that oil company that's producing all this plastic product is marketing it that, you know, it's all going to get recycled when they very well know that less than 10% of it's getting recycled and the rest of all the plastic products they're making or that they are made from their oil and from their fossil fuel. That the plastic, 90% of the plastic products is either getting incinerated or put into landfill. So it's not getting recycled. And the claim is that you're saying to people, you can be confident buying this plastic product that it's going to get recycled when they know it's not.
And that's because there's no market.
Well, that's right. I think the way I look at it is, They don't look at it as a sustainability issue. They look at it as if we can't make a profit, we're not going to do anything.
You're going to do it. Yeah.
And so I look at it like these are limited. Like we're going to run out of petroleum. We're going to run out of fossil fuels. Don't keep thinking it's this thing that's a renewable. It's not renewable. It's a limited. It's a finite amount, If you just keep burning it or sending it to landfill, it's gone. And if you burn it, it's gone forever.
Mm.
Forever.
And does enormous damage.
Enormous damage to the people who breathe in any byproducts, and the community and the land and the soil and the rivers.
It's one giant circle, isn't it?
So the interesting thing for me is that why did my football team choose to get involved in all this, right? Because the tentacles are now out. They're spread. They're now... And now everyone who's at that football game thinks that Liv's okay because they might have won a car that day and they're going to go and tell their story. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I was only 10 numbers from the membership number who, you know, it's going to be a story, isn't it? Or the there'll be someone out there. And look, it may well be that the person who won the car was the most deserving person in the whole audience and I don't begrudge them that. But the thing is that we have to look behind things. And if something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Now, why, all of a sudden, after, you know, Port Adelaide's been in the league since, I don't know what time, I should know, about, I'm going to say 1998, sometime like that, right? Never has a car ever been given away. Never, right? Just happens to be on the day that Liv Golf is there. So, you know, and this goes back to that marketing thing back in February, which all, you know, they might try to say, oh, there's nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Well, it must have been planned.
Mm.
This cannot have just blown up on the 23rd of April.
Mm.
Oh, let's do that. Let's have a golfer come down, hit the ball. Let's clear off the kids from the oval. Let's, no, it can't have just been.
No.
Right?
No, it's a pre-planned thing.
And, you know, and I must say, like the whole thing about games on Anzac Day has been controversial. They, look, I'm thinking maybe 10 years ago it started, might be a little bit longer, but it was very controversial when they first flew the idea of like, oh, should we have games on Anzac Day? It didn't go over well. It took a couple of years before people started to go, oh, well, you know, and they undertook, the AFL undertook to do it in a respectful way, and they do, they have all these, they have, you know, they have ceremonies at the beginning of the game and it's very solemn, you know. And so they do all that because Anzac Day is a very special day in Australia and New Zealand particularly. And Australians all over the world know about Anzac Day. And my grandfather was a Gallipoli, so I feel that it's important. But I think that then to... have sports washing of a country that has the most egregious human rights abuses, no respect for freedom of speech, all the rights of the women, the LGBTQ community, migrant workers, death penalty is just disgusting. There's just then we turn it into like a great celebration for people who might win a free car.
Mm.
So can we not make the link? Well, no, they don't want us to make the link. And just to make sure that you don't make the link, we'll give away a car, right? So if that's not getting people to pivot right away, I don't know. And I said to them, I said, this is the classic example of, so when I said, I've written to them, this is a classic example of sports washing.
Mm.
They have won here. You are now implicated. And our team is implicated.
Mm.
And I can't even get through to the CEO, which I eventually did. But anyway, you'll be pleased to know, Sue, that because I couldn't make a complaint to the CEO, I made a complaint about the fact that I couldn't make a complaint, to which they have not responded to that. But I will hold them to that they do need to tell me why members can't make a complaint. Because this is not a decision. Like, I'm not going to, I don't think we should be able to make a complaint about whether they should have moved the full forward at three-quarter time because he wasn't kicking goals. I don't think we should be able to make a complaint about that. That's that's an on-field thing.
Yeah.
But this is about our reputation as a football club, you know?
And it's about human rights as well.
And look, Grange Football Club, Grange Golf Club, they took this tournament. That was offered to Melbourne and Sydney before it was offered to Adelaide. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, right? But we have.
That's very telling.
I find that incredibly sad because I want to be proud of what goes on here. I want to be proud. But, you know, I mean, I can't be proud about this. And, of course, you know, there's been a few other things I'm dismayed about. Of course, the change to the protest laws has been very concerning. But I think this is one of those things that is it's very disturbing, and it can actually make me feel very sad about the state. And I want, I'm not trying to suggest that this is paradise here and everything's perfect. I understand there are issues that can be defined as human rights issues happening right here in our state. But at least we've got a rights to due process, and, you know, at least, yeah, I won't go into any more detail about that. But, you know, it's just the, at least people have got freedom of speech to talk about it. I can talk about this. I can, you know, I can talk about it.
And this can go out to people.
That's right. Without me having to fear that someone's going to knock at my door and take me away, you know. I mean, of course, you can be sent to Coventry in ways that, you know, we all understand that. But at least I've got my right to have a say.
Yeah.
But yes, but when, you know, when the forces of Channel 7, MG Sports, South Australian Government, Port Adelaide Football Club, and I can't even get an answer. Anyway, we just to quickly summarise what this very small group's done is we've set up a little group called Ethical Events, and we've got a web page which is ethicalevents.au. That's all that the website is, and we've now got a draft framework out about what would be included in an ethical event. So that's something that we've just put out fairly recently to talk about what would make an ethical event. So it would include things like, you know, the host or the sponsors would not be human rights abusers, or there would also be some environmental issues. There'd be that people are getting paid properly, so the employment issues. So that someone setting up an event can say, well, what things should we take into account about our event? And things have blown up recently, Writers Week and festival events, I think. So, you know, I think it's just something to think about. It's, you know, and I think it's better if you think about it beforehand than... And I'm not just suggesting we cancel people for the slightest reason, but let's have a look at it and just sit back and think about it and think, well...
And know the whole story. That's the thing. It's
and
the
not
whole
just
story.
Think... Like, I think if you just sit back and think, okay, we've got the Saudi Investment Fund. That fund is about trying to create a new economic pathway, moving away from fossil fuels, knowing full well that, you know, cars are going to EV. There's a big opposition at the moment to a lot of plastics in the world. In November, there's going to be further ongoing international discussions about how to phase out plastics. And our former Premier, Jay Weatherill, has just been involved in his organisation that he runs, Mindaroo Foundation, has funded a major research project which involves Adelaide Uni and a private company that's looked at all the health issues linked up with plastics, with having a conference in November. So these oil-producing countries can see the writing on the wall, so they've set up an investment fund to look at new financial pathways, and they've gone to, you know, they've gone to giving really wealthy golfers a huge financial hit. So all of that money is just draining away. That's not going to help the Saudis. How can that ever create an economic pathway for the Saudi Arabian people? It doesn't. And the other very concerning thing that I heard, I don't know, maybe a year ago, was the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization had a special press conference one day saying that they really were pleading, and I do use the word pleading, they were pleading with the Gulf countries, the Gulf states, which Saudi Arabia is one of them, to actually start making donations to Africa to help poverty and famine in Africa, given that they are their nearby neighbours, because they weren't getting donations from people right next door to Africa. They were getting donations from other parts of the world, but not from these countries that have got vast reserves of money. And, you know, and in this case, getting back to this case, and I shouldn't just focus on this because there's other countries as well that weren't donating, but so you can give $3 billion and possibly more, given how obscene some of these figures are, possibly more now. And we're talking US billions, right? Not just, not Australian billions. Not, so $3 billion to these. So why not give that money to Africa? Like, then, okay, I would find it very hard to argue that sports washing, because actual real people are benefiting. And I shouldn't call them real people, that's terrible, but people in Africa are benefiting, right? It would be very churlish of me to say, oh, I don't want Saudi Arabia donating money to save people's lives in Africa. I don't think I'd say that.
No.
And, you know, no matter what you say, you couldn't really criticise that, could you?
No.
You couldn't, unless you could find that somehow where it was going in particular favoured a regime that was an autocratic regime or something. But if it was going through, siphoned through the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, which we have to have confidence in, well, you couldn't complain about
that. No.
So this is where I get disheartened, because I feel, and it's just got to be sports washing, because it makes no other sense.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, it's surprising for me how it's now connected up with this issue about plastics, which really interests me.
Yeah.
And to the point where I've almost thought about getting to South Korea. But I can't justify the fossil fuels flying to South Korea to go and talk about plastics, but it's fascinating, isn't it?
I wonder if you can zoom in.
Yeah. I think I'd want to be there. Really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, it's complicated.
Yeah.
So did you have any other things that you thought I might want to talk about, or have we
exhausted
our topics?
Yeah.
So I'd really encourage people to have a think about it, and maybe have a look at Ethical Events website and just see whether or not it's of interest. And, so I think our group is... we're not quite sure what we want to do next. We are interested in having a citizens' jury or that sort of type of thing to talk about ethical events. And
That's interesting.
Yeah, we've definitely been thinking about that. But everyone's year's been like thrown up in the air with all sorts of different issues. And our group members are all involved in many things. Mm-hmm. We're only a small group, but we're pretty, And I'd like to say thanks very much to the Wyatt Foundation. They've allowed us to use their rooms when we've been having meetings, which has been fantastic, because we have people, even though I mentioned the Viva Peninsula, there is people from other areas as well. So it's just better to have a bit of a central location somewhere. So that's been good. We're just quietly going about our business, writing to Tourism Minister, I feel quite disappointed that we're not getting the transparency and accountability that I would have thought a democracy like Australia really deserves. And to be told it's commercial in confidence, no, it's taxpayers' money.
Mm.
You know, how much is it costing to promote it? How much are we giving? How are we subsidising their accommodation? Or what are we doing,
And they fly in.
Yes.
In their own jets.
Yes, that's right. So that doesn't help our economy, does it?
No.
No. If they stay in an international based hotel, which most of the big ones are, the money doesn't stay here.
Mm-hmm.
The money goes off to wherever these places have got their headquarters, which would probably be a tax haven. So, the interesting thing too about money is that the first year the man won, he hadn't been told about our tax, and he found himself having to pay the highest tax rate. So apparently they're going to sort that out for next year, they said. I was fascinated by that. And he was like, oh, well, I'm not sure I would have come if I'd known how to pay all that tax. So fascinating, isn't it? And the fact that he felt free to say that publicly, I thought was I thought, I'm pretty sure his management would have said, look, I think it's better just leave that in private discussion. But anyway, I was grateful that for his frankness because he did give us a bit of insight about what it's really all about.
Yeah.
You know, like you come to this country, you get all the benefits of where our tax system goes. If there'd been an accident, you would have gone straight to our public hospitals, which have fantastic facilities, and you would have used our roads. But no, you don't actually want to contribute part of your money.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Look, thanks so much for this opportunity of talking, and it's just been a really interesting journey and a really concerning one as a member of a club to have to write to my own team and say, I can't be part of this anymore. Mm. You're condoning human rights abuses and I can't be a member anymore. And this is breaking my heart. And people who know me literally can't believe this.
Mm. But you've
had many discussions with people about how this has happened and why you've done it. And I said, well, I can hardly write to the Premier and ask him to change his decisions and write to ministers and then still go along to the football. Mm. I can't do it.
Mm.
You know? Like, you know.